In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been hearing verses from Isaiah chapter 40, and this evening we'll hear the first two verses of Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Advent King, dearly loved by God. Our Advent banner has embroidered on it the words Prince of Peace. And above it are a dove and an olive branch. You know, of course, that both of those things are symbols for peace. And when we think about our Savior's advent into Bethlehem, into our hearts through the gospel, and into the world when he comes again, isn't it that reality of peace that comes to mind? For us who are in a relationship with God of peace, we understand that that peace is not merely a feeling. It is peace that is a condition. And that's important to know the difference. Because when I'm not feeling at peace, then is when I really need to trust that I am at peace with God, and God is at peace with me. That was the message that God had given to Isaiah to speak to Israel, particularly as those who would be carried away into Babylon in about a century would need to know it. They would be in Babylon. They would not feel very much at peace. But with Isaiah's words, they would still hear their God say, "You are yet my people, and I am still your God." And that's what God does for us as well. When we're being burdened by our sins or our guilty consciences, when we're being bent over by the crosses that our God asks us to bear for our discipline and for our learning, there are times when I'm not going to feel very peaceful. I'm not going to feel it. But then through Isaiah, we hear God call us my people and assure us I'm still your God. And so on the basis of the first two verses of Isaiah chapter 40, this evening we're going to talk a little bit about the peace of Christ. Well, see, first of all, that God's comfort that gives us peace does that because it matches our need for comfort. And secondly, we'll see that it does that because it is a threefold deliverance. Isaiah wrote these words in prophecy in that timeless eternity, as if it had already taken place and as if the realities of that peace were true, because they were true. He wanted the people at his day and those people who were carried off into Babylon and us to know of that peace of Christ. In 100 years, the Israelites who were carried off into captivity were not feeling at peace. They had seen their beautiful temple, the place where God dwelt among them completely destroyed. They had seen the land that God had promised and given to their ancestor Abraham, now in foreign hands and under heathen control. They'd have to get up every day and go to work and live their lives among heathen, some even of their own people, who did not believe in the Lord God, but who worshipped idols. And sometimes they would even be commanded to forsake the Lord and worship those false gods. Think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three men in the fiery furnace. Think Daniel in the lion's den. But in the midst of all of that, they would have Isaiah's scroll. They would have the inspired Word of God. And someone would take out that scroll and would read the words of peace in Christ. That peace, or that promise of the Savior that they had in the midst of all of these difficulties and challenges. And so God says to Isaiah, when you write this, write, comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord your God. Twice, God told Isaiah to write about comfort. And in Hebrew poetry, that's for emphasis. It means that when things are going bad, don't give the people a few pious platitudes and hope everybody's going to feel better about themselves and about the situation. So often don't we hear that, where somebody needs some real words of comfort and all they get are pious platitudes. Comfort, comfort, the Lord said to Isaiah. In other words, give them words of comfort that would be up to their need. It would match their need. Is there anything worse than having a great need and getting a few words that don't do anything to help in that need? So when God's word comforted the people, it was a word of comfort that matched the need, particularly their spiritual need. They would have that great comfort when they weren't feeling at peace. When they were wondering, why is all this happening? Maybe God doesn't love me anymore. Maybe we're not His people anymore. Maybe God's forsaken us. And that's why the personal pronouns are so important. He says, call them, tell them, even though you're miles and miles away from Jerusalem, you're still my people. And I'm still your God. They would say to that remnant of believers who believed in Him. And that was a great comfort to them, that God had not forsaken them, that they still belonged to Him for the sake of the promised Savior. And that's our comfort, comfort. We are Jerusalem. We are my people. We are the church. Those are synonyms. Jerusalem and my people are synonymous. Comfort and speak tenderly, literally speak to the heart, are the same thing. When you and I are not feeling at peace because of the guilt of our sins, God says, you're still my people. I'm still your God. When we're suffering through those crosses and under those crosses, wondering if maybe God has forsaken us, God says, you're still my man. You're still my woman. I'm still your God. Because of that promise, because of that peace that you have in Christ. When we feel unpeaceful, when we feel forsaken or burdened, God comforts us. And He comforts us as He did those people because of a threefold deliverance. He told Isaiah, proclaim to her, announce, preach, that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. There's that prophetic past tense, that prophetic present. Those things have already taken place, even though it was a whole nother century until those people were carried away into captivity. The Lord said to Isaiah, tell Israel that her hard service has ended. And as most prophecy, that had a double meaning. It meant that Cyrus and the Persians would defeat the Babylonians and would set Israel free. And the people would be able to return to Israel and to rebuild the temple. But in the greater spiritual meaning, it meant, and another way to translate hard service is warfare. So tell people that their warfare with God is over. Tell them that God's warfare with them is over. Because what separated us from God is our iniquities. And those iniquities have been removed. They've been covered. They've been taken away. God has declared peace to the entire world. And that was the angel's message, wasn't it? About the Prince of Peace on Christmas night when the Savior was born. Her hard service, her warfare, all of that struggle is over. Some of you may be familiar with the book, and I guess soon to be movie, Unbroken, about Louis Zamperini, who was captured by the Japanese and endured just horrific torture and hard labor under the Japanese as a prisoner. How he must have felt when he was set free, when his hard service was ended, when he knew that now he was at peace and would no longer have to endure that fear and that burden of being at war. That is our peace of Christ, that God has forgiven us all of our sins. Just like Jesus said to the young man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. And then he also set him free from that burden of being a paralytic. And so here in prophecy, Isaiah tells them, you're going to be in captivity, but you're going to be set free. You were at war, and God was at war with you because of your sins, but that warfare has ended. And he said, tell them that her sin has been paid for. Literally, that talks about something that has to be paid to undo guilt. And once again, that's not the feeling of guilt. It is the condition of guilt. Now, if you've ever noticed when we confess our sins, we never say to God, I feel sorry for my sins. We say to God, I am sorry for my sins. I have that condition of sorrow and grief in my heart that I have broken your commandments. It is a recognition of that reality. And so here, that guilt offering, tell Israel that it's been paid. That it's already been paid by Jesus on the cross. I'll tell them that it's been paid in 13 more chapters in Isaiah 53, where I will write that the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Writing there, of course, of Jesus, bearing our guilt, being that guilt offering, winning for us the removal and paying for our sins. And then the third part of that, he says, tell Israel that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Doesn't that remind us of Paul's words to the Romans? But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. We can never out-sin God's forgiveness. We can never out-grieve and despair the amount of grace that he has for us. Because that grace always is more than we need. It always covers all of our sins and all of our guilt. We've received double grace for our sins. Think back to that Jesus parable of the prodigal son or the foolish son. It's always occurred to me that the Father's love, the Father's acceptance, the Father's celebration, the Father's joy way exceeded the sin that his son had committed against him, which is why he took him back. God has taken us back because we have received double grace, double forgiveness, more forgiveness than we need to cover all of our sins. And so there is no shame. There is no guilt. There is no sin that we have to have before God now or on judgment day. There's another passage that Isaiah writes in his book, in Isaiah 61, verse 7. He promised, instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will receive, or you will rejoice in your inheritance. And there he's not talking about feeling ashamed or feeling disgraced. He's talking about being a shame to God or being a disgrace to God because of our sins. And so even now, and when we're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, we won't be a shame to God because he has given us our inheritance. He has given us a double portion of his love. We won't be a disgrace. We will rejoice in our inheritance in heaven. So rather than being those things before God now or then, we are his own dear children. So the peace of Christ comes to us in that threefold deliverance. Our hard service is completed, our sin has been paid for, and we have received from the Lord's hand double for all of our sins. Through Isaiah, the Lord told generations of believers of his power and his wisdom and his love that would give us comfort, that would match our need for comfort, that would show us why that comfort is real, because it is a real condition we have before God in Christ. And so the Lord comforts our hearts in the birth of Christ, when forgiveness comes to us through the gospel in word and sacrament, and when Jesus returns to gather us to himself, to take us into the eternal peace of heaven. Now that I think about it, our banner has it right. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the Prince of Peace. Amen.